The first Thanksgiving. If I were to ask that question to everybody here, I'm sure I would get the 1621 version, or at least semblance to that. But if you look at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 39, and in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. This was known as the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it was one of three feasts that the children of Israel had to journey to Jerusalem at the temple to worship. Very early in the world's, population or whatever. But most of us recall from our elementary school, the Thanksgiving started with pilgrims and Indians in 1621. It was a three-day feast with 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. And, oh, by the way, that big hat that the pilgrims wore with the big buckle, that probably didn't exist. There was no known fashion at any time that had that. Whatever. But anyway. But 2 years before that, in 1619, at Berkeley Hundred in the Charles City, Virginia, 38 settlers landed with a proclamation on their charter. And this was when they left England, the people who sponsored them, that the day of your ship's arrival at a place assigned shall you yearly and perpetually be kept holy, a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. In 1789, George Washington proclaimed a harvest festival. However, Jefferson did not want to celebrate that, so it wasn't perpetually done. And then in 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And now since 1942, it's been recognized on the fourth Thursday of November. So much for Thanksgiving as the proclamations and things. And as you were handed out this morning when you came in, a proclamation that was actually entered into our national archives of our fathers back in the 1780s and 90s, proclaiming a day of thanksgiving. So it's something that's been around for quite a while. Jesus gave thanks on a number of occasions. On the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew 15:36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them. Also, at the Last Supper, in chapter 26 of Matthew, in verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Jesus gave thanks. Paul also gave thanks on numerous occasions. One was when they had been 14 days without any food for nourishment during his shipwreck. In Acts chapter 27, verse 35, it mentions that, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And when he had broken it, they began to eat. As you remember then, no one was lost. They came into Miletus and were all saved. Also, again, when he was on his voyage to Rome, in chapter 28, verse 15, and from thence, when his brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apriel Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So Paul is giving thanks. And another couple chapters, or a couple verses that he gives thanks, is for different things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf. And then a scripture that comes down through the many years in we are told at different times by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, and Colossians 3:17, to give thanks continuously, all the time, giving thanks. And in 2 Corinthians, we find a scripture in chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life. So as we can see, thanksgiving was important to Jesus, to Paul, and it is important for us today. However, this morning I would like to rephrase the word. I don't know where I heard this, but it's been with me for many, many years, the term thanks living. Thanks living. I'd like to look at five different areas of our daily lives that we can apply this to. The first one is our home. We all live in a house, apartment, mobile home, modular home, RV, tent, or some other enclosure in this part of the country to protect us from the weather. But let's take a moment about the one person or persons that does our laundry, whether it's done in home or the laundromat. Most of us like to wear clean clothes. And all we do is go to the drawer, or go to the closet, open it, pick out our clothes, and they're all clean. That's a magic. It just happens, right? No, there's someone to be thankful for that. What about our meal preparations? I don't see anybody in here that's missed too many meals in the last month or so. Did they come from, you know, being cooked from scratch? Did they come from the freezer? Or maybe they came from a restaurant. How many of us have ever thanked the cook? Now, granted, sometimes we thank the server. Has anybody ever thanked the cook? We went out Friday for fish at a restaurant we hadn't been to before. And as on my way out, the kitchen was visible as you walked by. And to me, it looked like it was chaos. But we had good fish. But anyway, have you ever thanked the person who prepared that? Here's another one. Cleaning. This is my favorite job. How much dust do you let accumulate before you do something? Or how many shades of gray does a carpet get before you get the vacuum or rug doctor? Again, that all happens. It gets done. What about your lawn? Is your lawn mowed is an eyesore in the neighborhood? Or is it attractive because someone has planted flowers, shrubbery, and makes it look nice? What about raking leaves? This is kind of a sore spot with me. I never raked leaves until the last 2 years, and I've had to rake leaves. I always let the wind blow it. You know, don't worry about it. The wind will take care of it. But as you look around the neighborhoods, individual people are doing that. Those who keep your vehicles operational. A lot of homes, the people or someone in the house can take care of keeping the car going, oil changes, whatever. But do you ever thank your mechanic for keeping that car going? All you have to do is go to Chicago on I-80, 90, or 94, six lanes wide, traffic going 90 or 75 miles an hour, and you're hoping that car keeps going, and you're hoping the wheels stay on. Your mechanic, have you ever thanked him? How about the things that need fixed in your house? Change the light bulb, unclog the toilet, something quits, you replace. I think you get the picture what I'm talking about. Sometimes we fail to be thankful in our daily living for those responsible for keeping our life on an even keel. I call that part of thanks living. In Galatians, Paul gives an admonition to the church. In Galatians 6, if I get the right book here, in Galatians 6, verse 20, or verse 10, Galatians 6, 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So what about the things in the church? What about the building, the upkeep, fixing things, keeping supplies on hand, the lawn? When we come together on Sundays or Wednesday, it's always done. I wonder who does that. What about the changing of the sign out front? It's been up there 5+ years, I'll say. I don't know how long. But every week there's a new saying. How many can remember 250 sayings put out on that board without any repeats? But yet, that gets done every week. Our coat program. Who does the picking up? They buy the coats on sale, obviously. But who does that? Getting the information from the schools, matching the sizes to the children, and seeing they're delivered to these children. Not very many of us in here personally see the smile on the faces of the child or the crying of the mother who is thankful that we were able to supply coats to the children, indeed, in our schools in this area. Our food bank, who does the ordering, the pickup, the stocking of the shelves, the distribution once a month we have here, or even during the month if somebody needs it, it's being taken care of. Our little food pantry over there this month supplied 29 families with 2 or 3 boxes of food. Yes, we all can participate in that because the food is bought by all of us with our donations and our contribution. What about the encouraging cards, the weekly prayer lists that we get? That takes more than 5 minutes to gather all the information, to keep it up to date and keep us informed. In fact, it takes Carl more than 5 minutes to get it published. But anyway, that's something that is done on a regular basis. What about the encouraging of our people to attend Camp Indigan? As a congregation, we provide the tuition and the vehicle. Oh, yeah, we have a self-driving vehicle too, right? Someone takes care of that. The fun fair, that just happens once a year with 291 people visiting our facilities here to encourage them and to have family having fun. What about lesson preparation? Each week there are 4 adult lessons and up to 5 children's lessons that are prepared every week. And if you haven't been involved, it takes longer to prepare a lesson than it does to present. Quite a bit. Again, folks, we come to services and these things get done. We all do our part. That is part of thanks living. What about our neighborhood? The local, state, and federal. Paul gives us that admonition in Romans, the 8th chapter, or 13th chapter, of how we're to be subject to our governing authorities. We may not agree with what they're doing, but yet we're to be subject to them. Our neighbors around our building, there's three of them that border our property, over here, in the back, and over here. They all know what we do and what we stand for. Oh, and how many know why there are two benches outside our fellowship hall? Two metal benches sitting there. That's because the family that lives behind us has a child who has special needs, and the county comes, picks him up. But maybe the county isn't always on time or he's early. So he had no place to sit. So we provided a bench for him to sit on. Now I'm going to list a few things here, and your eyes will probably roll. The post office, the gas company, the electric company, our church provider. We have a member on the board. Brother Gary is a member of the board of directors for Midwest Electric. The streets, the highway, the police, the fire. The list goes on and on. And you say, oh, well, we pay for that. But there is some person in that snowplow that does it. There's other people who have the training to fight fires, the CPR training, the ambulance driver, the mail delivery. All those people, they're people. Are we thankful for them? Have you ever thanked any of them for what you do, for what they do? That's also a part of our thanks living as we go from day to day. Now we're going to get a little personal. Our actions. How do we show thanks living in our actions? In Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Our actions. Do we smile when we shop? Or do we kind of frown because there's somebody in our way? Do you smile while having to wait seemingly innumerably at a checkout lane? And of course now at Walmart you have to stand in line to check out after you've checked, after you've paid your money, you have to stand in line. But what is our countenance when we do that? Are we smiling or are we complaining to the guy next to us, say, hey, you know, they should have more people, you know, all that kind of. So is our action is smiling. And then our politeness, which seemingly is going by the wayside in a lot of places. And several of us are in here that can remember the old school. Like, woman who has a child in arms drops something, do we just kind of walk away or do we pick it up and take care of that? Or if there's a stranded motorist, sometimes we get a little gun shy about helping a stranded motorist, but I know I've been helped by, in my condition, it seems like my mechanic tightens the nuts too tight on the wheels. And when you have a flat tire, you bend the wrench that the manufacturer gives you to get the nuts off. You bend it because it's on so tight. Someone helps you. Also, do we, if there's a person in the grocery line that only has two or three items, do we stand our position with a full basket, or do we offer them to go ahead of us with only two or three items? And then sometimes taking time. Are we always in a hurry? It seems like we always have places to go, things to do. But do we cut people off in their conversations? This is one of my problems. I'll see somebody talking that I want to talk to, and I'll just butt in and, you know, talk to that person. That's not quite the way to do it. We never should be in such a hurry that we cut people off. What about cutting people off driving? As I mentioned before, on these six-lane highways going into Chicago, how many times has somebody come around you, darted in front of you, and darts back out, just missing your bumper? You'd think that they were driving in the NASCAR races. And then, have you ever tailgated somebody? You get so mad at them for what they, you know, they cut you off, you're going to tailgate them. What happens if they hit the brakes? Your insurance company's not going to cover that. But that's neither here nor there. But just the idea of trying to always be in a hurry. And then after services, do we rush out before we can share with each other how our lives have been doing? There was a sign on the school at Northside in Niles going in on 5th Street. If I can remember all of it, I can remember the one part. It says, "We listen, and then we always do the right thing." Yeah. That's something. Do we always do the right thing, or do we kind of do something we want to? A number of years ago, the expression J-O-Y, to have joy, you put Jesus first, others second, and yourselves last. Do we have that attitude? Is our attitude one of having Jesus first, then others, and putting ourselves on the bottom? Thanksgiving. Now we're going to get a little bit closer. How do we show thanksgiving with our thought processes? It's always been said that what comes out of the mouth came from the heart, our thought processes. In Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Our thought processes. Do we have an attitude of, I'm going to get even? What happens when you try to get even? And the other guy tries to get even plus one. So then you have to get even plus one plus one. And pretty soon you build a wall or you've got problems. So is our attitude and thought, do we have that get even? Do we swear under our breath so that no one can hear us? I think God's listening, whether it's audible or not. Our thought process would come out. When someone cuts you off in traffic, we mentioned this before, what is your first impression? What's the first thing you do? Under your breath, or you might say it out loud if someone's in the car, or do you just remain calm, take your foot off the accelerator, and kind of go with the flow? But sometimes that is very difficult to do. What about when people differ in what you think? If I think differently than Leon, is he wrong? Am I going to say, "You're wrong? You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm right"? That kind of attitude gets us in a whole lot of trouble also. And then one that probably 99.9% of the people in here do. I can violate the law because everybody else does and there are no police around. What does the word or the letters S-T-O-P mean? That means stop. And what the police use as a definition of stop is forward momentum ceases. So how many stop signs in the rural areas do we slow down and do a Michigan stop? Because everybody does it, but yet, is that an attitude that we should have? Our thoughts are also a part of thanks living. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, and that's not the right one, Colossians. Get the right chapter, I'll be okay. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Our thanksgiving should be demonstrated in everything that we do. Now this morning I have not said anything new or amazing, only just reminders. Just because Thursday is the fourth Thursday of November and we celebrate it as Thanksgiving, let us have an attitude of thanksgiving. 86,400, 1440, 24/7, 365. And if you had your calculators going, that's how many seconds in a minute, how many minutes in an hour, how many hours in a day. But anyway, it's one of those things that we should do continuously. A thanksgiving attitude starts with the knowledge that we need a Savior as an example to follow. He led a life of thanksgiving, and offers us the gift of eternal life through believing that He is Christ and Lord of our lives. And as John's lesson last week was on repentance, we need to repent, turn away if we're not living this thanksgiving life to show to others. Being baptized gives us that helper, the Holy Spirit, that will guide us, will help us to do these things. Because I personally can't take care of all my thoughts, my actions, and all these other things by myself. We need that help that God gives us when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we're baptized. And this offer is open to all who need that help and assurance. Now, sometimes you'll say, well, I'm okay, I don't really need it, I'll get by until the next time I have to do something right. But when we live a thanksgiving lifestyle, a life thanksgiving attitude with our actions and our thoughts, then our whole life seems to be a lot easier. And sometimes we may have problems. I was sharing with Brother Bill this morning about my Thursday this week. And I wonder why and how everything that happened that day I could be thankful for. But yet, when I go to bed at night, I was thankful that I had a vehicle that would run. I was thankful that the nurse and the doctor stitched up my foot. And things like that. And I had, you know, I thank the doctor, the nurses, and that. But it's one of those things that sometimes is very difficult for us to do in our daily lives, to live a thanksgiving attitude as we go. So this morning, if you are in need for the first time of having that Holy Spirit through baptism and belief in Christ and repentance, we offer that every time we come together. But it's not only every time we come together, it's every day of our lives that we can come and then have public baptism and repentance and things like that. But the thanksgiving that goes on every day. So this morning, as the song that Gary has picked, and I'll have to, you didn't get the expression that Gary gave me after the first two songs this morning. He wasn't familiar with them, and I had asked him to sing them. But this one that he has picked for the invitation hymn, all things are ready, and all things are ready in God's house. All things are ready for anybody who wants to come and get their life going according to a thanksgiving attitude.